Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
I'm so excited.
First of all, it's my birthday. I'm 50. I am 50 years old today. Oh my goodness. You guys, I have thought ever since I was a young child, the women in my family on both sides lived to be old, 90s, hundreds. And I remember just sitting at the feet of my grandmothers and listening to their stories about their childhoods and their marriages and the businesses that they were a part of and the children that they helped raise and the families that they took care of, and just in awe of them and all of the things that they did in their life. And I have known in my gut since I was a young child that I would live to be 100. I might not, but I think I'm going to. So for me, 50, like, I'm just getting started. I totally feel like I'm just getting started. I remember being at the mastermind in Nashville that I attended in February, and I stood up in front of the group and I said, I'm about to be 50. Organize 365 just turned 10 years old. Martha Stewart is 80 years old. I am 10 years into a 40-year career. Like, I am just getting started. I'm just getting started with Organize 365. I'm just getting started with my life, which is kind of crazy to say when you're turning 50. I think the older you get chronologically, almost the younger you feel mentally. I don't know how to explain it. But I do want to talk today. This is a bonus podcast episode. It could be long. It came to me a week ago at 2 a.m. and I recorded this podcast in my head to you until 7 a.m. So many, many iterations, stories I wanted to tell, things I wanted to deep dive into. I have so many notes in front of me, but I'm just going to let this story come out as it comes out as a gift to myself for being 50, as a gift to Organize 365 for being 10. As a gift to having done the Sunday basket myself for 20 years. Like, 5 years ago, my mom came down and helped sew the prototype of the Sunday basket. 4 years ago, we started selling the complete Sunday basket. Like, just so many milestones seem to be happening in this month for me. And I just kind of want to share Lisa math. I'm just going to go there. There's going to be a lot of Lisa math in this episode. So what is Lisa math? Oh, Greg would really like a tactical definition of Lisa math. I'll tell you how Lisa math came to be. Lisa math is a combination of actual math, intuition, and God, basically. Because when we were younger and we had our young kids, Greg and I, the amount of money that we made in jobs, in physical dollars going into the bank account, and the amount of expenses that we had did not equal, but somehow it always equaled. Like literally, I'm not a detail person. So I would be reconciling the checkbook, which I did up until a year ago, and I would reconcile it. When Greg would reconcile the checkbook, when he was in charge of the checkbook, he would do it down to the penny. I could never get the pennies to add up. Like, I mean, there's just never any pennies. But what's even more comical is that I'm usually off by like hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands. But it always ends up being fine. Because the amount that I can't find and I lose, I find other places that we didn't know we had it. So over the course of the years, I just say to Greg, it's Lisa math and it works. Now, here's what's really bizarre. Now that I own my own company and like I have accountants and bookkeepers and people that look at the numbers, I had a CFO for a period of time. He kept making all these spreadsheets, which probably were factually correct. I mean, they had to have been. Like, he's a CFO, for crying out loud. He got all the numbers out of our QuickBooks. Like, it's not like he put the numbers in there. And he'd be like, here's the math. It doesn't work. I'm like, oh, no, it totally works. And he's like, no, look at the spreadsheets. This doesn't work. I'm like, oh, well, you aren't accounting for this, that, and the other thing. He's like, what is that? I'm like, Lisa math. He's like, no, Lisa math is not a thing. Now, I did go through a rough patch there where I finally learned what a balance sheet is versus a P&L and what is considered a write-off versus what is a tax deduction and profit. Like, so I did learn a little bit more. As I was learning that, if you were following me about 2 years ago, I turned them into birds. They were different kinds of birds. Some birds were living in my warehouse. Some were perched up. I was really confused with money that leaves my account because I bought inventory but I don't have the inventory yet, so there's nothing in my warehouse. But also, where is that money on my P&L, my bank account, all that? So I said that was birds. Birds are money. Birds fly out of the office. They go sit on a telephone pole for a period of time, and then they come back and they sit in my warehouse as inventory on hand, which is not a loss until you actually sell it. So anyways, I learned about that. I think the way that I look at money, which I know is not, trust me, I'm not going into accounting, but it's also not wrong because it usually works. And I will meet with accountants, bookkeepers, and CFOs. And by the time we get down to the end, what I am saying or intuiting or feeling usually is correct. And how, like, there was a time when all the numbers were off in a certain thing in our company. And I said to the team, I said, you've lost this. Like, you've lost this amount of people in this application that you're doing. And they're like, no, we didn't. I was like, yeah, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You did. Like, they're gone. They're like, no, they were never there. I'm like, no, they were there. Finally, we got the software company to revert our software back 1 week. Sure enough, they were there. And the amount of people that I said should have been in whatever it was should have been in, I was right. Like, there's just, yeah, you wouldn't want to put me in any kind of a finance exam, but I understand maybe the energy of money. I don't know. I also do the same thing with time. Like, I understand time better than I think most people understand time. I understand how it passes. I understand how it passes differently for different people. I understand how you can use time to your advantage. I understand how you can use the same exact amount of time and make it more productive by reordering what you do in that time. I understand how the people on my team, their brains process projects in different time sequences. Some people, like me, verbally process and are ideating. Other people are doing research, and other people are primarily figuring out how to organize all of the information that we've collected in order to execute something. And so because I know how each person on my team, they all do all of those things, but I know in what order they do those things, I can put together teams that are able to ideate, research, and create a execution plan in a third of the time, and then go out and give the team the time they need to actually do what they need to do. It's just the inquisitive part of me, the questioner in me, the teacher in me, I don't know. But what I do know, and what I realized as I was playing this podcast to you in my head for 5 hours in the middle of the night, is that I want to share all of this with you. Okay, I was just making sure this was recording, because let me just tell you, I have recorded podcasts before that weren't recording, and I don't want to re-record this one. So let me give you an example of someone. My husband and I think totally differently about time and about money. I know, it's a shocker, right? So Greg is really, really great at understanding logical math, not necessarily Lisa math, and compounding returns. About Greg understands, you know, like investing money inside of a 401k on the day that you get your first job when you are 22 years old, and how that will turn into more money by the time you're 55, which is how old he's going to be. And that has totally worked for him. He is a cross-country runner, and I say marry a cross-country runner because they are loyal, they are determined, they follow the plan, they have endurance. Like, Greg's like, just point me in the right direction and I will just go. I will just go, I will get it done. And when he graduated from college, he started work the next day in his stepfather's company, which has been bought and sold 5 times, and he still has the same job because he is so loyal, and he started investing in his 401k. And he has done a great job investing in his 401k, staying in the same job this entire time. Joey was eligible to join our 401k here at Organize 365 in January. I didn't get him enrolled in time. Greg lost his mind. He's like, do you know how much money he just lost? I'm like, he's investing like $5 a week. I don't understand how this is such a big deal. He'll join next quarter. It's not a big deal. Greg's like, no, it's a really big deal because he's investing and then you're matching that and then compounded over 15 years of working, 50 years of working, blah, 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 blah. And he had all the math figured out. And I was like, okay, that kind of math seems very arbitrary to me. that I can't really touch it, which is hilarious, you guys, because this is the kind of math everyone in the United States understands because it's retirement math. To me, I'm like, that's pretend math. My Lisa math, totally more concrete. He's like, you are crazy. And I think also part of it is because I'm a woman. I think as a woman, we just kind of have to make our time flexible. Like, we make our time expand and contract. We have to manage other people's time. We have to manage what we get done in a day. And we're constantly moving around everything we get done in the day in response to other people's times. And it's not only a woman trait, but historically, up until recently, has been a much more female trait in order to do that. For me, I have always known I need to save for my retirement. I just never have. I got married and I knew that Greg had a 401k and I knew Greg had healthcare. And to be honest, that has given me an amazing amount of flexibility in the last 28 years for everything that I've done. Like, Greg and I are very traditional. When we got married, I was a teacher, but our goal was to have children and our goal was for me to stay home with those children. And I very much was on board with that plan. Like, I love that plan. There was a time last summer I was trying to figure out if I was going to be a stay-at-home grandmother. I'm not. But I did consider it because I love babies. I love children. I love being a mom. I love being at home. I was watching Grayson the other day and I said to Greg, I said, you know, if that organized 365 thing doesn't work out, I would be an awesome nanny. He's like, yes and no, keep working. So I love teaching, I love being a mom. I love being in direct sales. Direct sales gave me the ultimate flexibility in being able to earn an income and also being able to pivot and meld that around our family. And so my time thought is not really about the passage of time or how much time we have or how long we will live. I always view time more as in how much capacity do I have. So the time of day, the amount of 24 hours you have in a day, passes the same for all of these people, okay? Passes the same for a child, for a mom of young children who is a stay-at-home mom, for someone in the workforce who's working a 9-to-5 job from home, for someone in the workforce who's working a 9-to-5 job with a 1-hour commute each way, for someone who is retired, for someone who is in medical school, for someone who is, like, all these people, the same 24 hours passes the same way. What's different in my view is not the actual passage of time, and it's not even really your productivity. For me, what I think is different is your capacity inside of that time. So let's take medical school for an example, because I've never used that as an example. Let's say you're in medical school, and then you're in residency, and then you're in whatever happens after that. My cousin-in-law has done all of those things, and I have watched how the capacity of his time available to his girlfriend and then spouse and then as a father has impacted that family. And becoming a doctor is all encompassing, all consuming. Like, it takes so much of your time. And while what you turn back to the world after you invest all that time and then you're able to do your profession and be able to heal people and diagnose people and help people is of utmost importance. Like, it's super, super valuable. It costs a lot of money to become a doctor, and then you get paid a lot of money when you're a very good doctor. Like, it is a high time intensity investment for a high future monetary reward. Like, everybody kind of knows that, right? However, when you look at the capacity of a young mother or father who chooses to be the full-time caregiver of that child, the intensity for raising that human being is equitable. Like, the amount of time that all babies have to be cared for, like, right? We can agree with that. Like, there is no infant on the planet that does not need 24-hour-a-day care. Now, granted, they sleep some of those hours depending on the infant. Some infants sleep more, some sleep less. But it doesn't matter. If they wake up at 11 p.m., at 2 a.m., whatever time, like, you're on call. Like, you're basically an on-call parent for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, it is a 24-hour-a-day, 365-day-a-year job for the rest of your life. There will be periods where they're super intense, where you've been, like, on call back to back to back to back, like you would be as a doctor. And there are periods where you're on vacation, but you bring the charges with you. So if we can agree that intensity is similar, I think that because that was my intensity, was being a full-time stay-at-home mom to two children who had medical needs, and I was also trying to earn a little bit of money on the side, I was exhausted. And so instead of looking at my time as a return on money or as an investment for future money, like nobody gets into parenting to earn money, right? Like you don't earn money on your children. So it's not a good balance of time equals money, you know, and often whenever you're looking at productivity, whenever you're looking at time management, you're looking at like, what does this time cost? How much would it cost to have somebody else do this thing that I'm doing so that I can have more capacity so I can do something else? So instead of saying time, let's replace that with capacity for the rest of this conversation. And inside of my personal life, inside of my business life, and in my entire life, I'm always looking at how much capacity do I have? Do the people around me have? And then the constraints that are on us, which are time and money. Time and money are constraints on capacity. And when you choose to do things, you are choosing a future opportunity cost for other things that you might do. So last week, once again, I was on the path for getting a PhD. This is how far I went this time, you guys. I actually found a school. I did interviews with the school. I watched a webinar. I talked to many people. Some of you know who you are, about if this would be a good idea, not a good idea. If I could do this and have a TV show at the same time, no. If I could do this and run my business at the same time, maybe. I mean, like I went all the way down the rabbit trail of if I were to get a cognitive psychology PhD. I was like, would I be happy 3 years from now if I spent the time and did it? Yes, definitely. But what would be the cost to my family, to my business, to all of these things? And ultimately, I decided that I do not have the capacity right now to get a PhD. Can I? Yes. Can I find the money? Yes. Can I find the time? Yes. Do I have the capacity? No. And the reason I don't have the capacity is because I don't think it's because I'm turning 50. I just think that I require a lot more sleep now than I used to. Like the 2018 Lisa could have gotten her PhD, but the 2022 Lisa needs more rest time. Last weekend, I spent all day Saturday. I was like, yes, I the baby took a nap on me in the morning. Greg and I talked. I got up and I was like, okay, I'm cleaning the garage. And then I recorded a video for the Productive Home Solution. And then I worked on this project around the house. And then Greg and I watched TV at night, and then I got up Sunday, and Grayson took a double nap on me. He took a little 30-minute nap. We played with him a little bit, and then he fell asleep for another hour and a half. I didn't get out of bed till noon, and I was exhausted. And I had so many things I was supposed to do, and I was like, darn it. For whatever reason, and this has been for about 9 months now, I cannot go hard Monday through Friday at work, and both days of the weekend. It's just, I don't know, my get up and go, got up and went. I have no idea. I can work 6 days a week. And then literally my body's like, that's adorable. We're not doing that. I'm like, okay. So then I just look at my list. I'm like, I guess that thing is not going to get done. So over the years, what I have found for myself is that my capacity to do more and to make better choices comes from the Sunday basket. And I realized a couple of years ago that what the Sunday basket actually gives you is time. It's a current investment of time for a future return on time. And I've been saying that recently. That is my new definition of organization. Organization, spending time getting organized, is a current investment of time that gives you a future return on time. And what it ultimately does is it increases your capacity. It increases your capacity to do more things. It increases your capacity to handle the unexpected, which will always happen. Unexpected things will always happen. We just don't know what they are. That's why they're called unexpected. And when they happen, do you have any capacity in order to handle those things? Time and money, yes, but also capacity. So when we're talking about time, like physically, do you have enough time in a day to squeeze another 2-hour thing in? Maybe on the calendar. But do you have the capacity, the mental capacity, the energy capacity? Maybe not. Or maybe on some days you literally don't have the time to get it done, but your mental capacity and your physical capacity is such that you're firing on all cylinders and you actually get 10 hours worth of stuff done in 6 hours. And you don't even know how you did it. It is Lisa math. It's capacity. It's not just time and money. So the Sunday basket allowed me 20 years ago when Joey was 2 years old and Abby was 6 months old. That was 20 years ago. That was when I very first did the Sunday basket. I don't know the exact day, but I know it was a February, March timeframe because I know it was after Christmas and it was before summer because it had to have been right at the beginning of March because the sun went down early. So it was before the time change and everybody had gone to bed. So it was right before spring came. It was right about this time of year. And I spread all of those piles of paper that I had. If you haven't heard the story, I literally had stacked up on the end of the kitchen counter, like, I don't know, a 12-inch pile of paper. And there were maybe paper clips in there, but that was it. There were just paper clips. There was mail. There were magazines. There was medical bills. There was stuff from my direct sales business. There was adoption paperwork from Abby. There was just everything. And I was making a lot of money. Like, I was working in direct sales. Greg was working his job. We'd been in our house about 5 years, so we'd settled into what those household bills were going to be. I was doing really good in my direct sales business. We'd already paid for both adoptions. So we were not financially strapped, but I was disorganized. And so I didn't know what I owed when. And this is 2002. So we did have computers. I used a computer. I had email. But we had websites, but it wasn't like you weren't paying anything online. Every single thing was being mailed in. I was reconciling my checkbook every single week just to make sure that everything balanced. I owned my own business, so I was in direct sales. So there was a lot of money coming in and going out and orders that needed to be placed. And I was paying my bills late just because I didn't know what bills needed to be paid because I was at my capacity. Mentally, I had everything going on. I was a stay-at-home mom doing direct sales. I had the income coming in. I had the money. I had the time. I just didn't have it all organized in a way so that everything could get done that was getting done. And I was falling farther and farther behind because things were not getting done. So as I laid these papers out on my family room floor, because it was 8 o'clock and Greg, Joey, and Abby were all already sleeping, and Joey never slept. So that was a miracle right there. I realized I had 40 actionable piles of things that needed to be done, bills to be paid, newsletters to be sent, medical appointments to be paid for, medical appointments to be scheduled, all these things, all these different piles. And because I had been a teacher, I had slash pockets, which are just plastic binder inserts that are colored that have little tabs on them. And I just grabbed a bunch of those and I put everything into a separate slash pocket. There was no system at this time. I grabbed a basket that I had sitting there and I put the slash pockets in the basket and I put it on the end of the counter. So I went from a stack, a 12-inch stack of mismatched papers to 40 slash pockets of little actionable projects. And the next day, when Joey fell asleep in the swing for his whopping 20-minute nap that he took, I grabbed one of those slash pockets, I called and made the doctor's appointments, and then he woke up and I was like, this is gonna work. This is gonna work. Because I was able to use that 20 minutes to actually do something. Instead of in the past, I would start to lay out all of those papers, figure out what needed to be done, and then Joey would be awake again. And I was falling further and further and further behind. And it was about 6 weeks later where I felt like I had a good schedule. I was starting to use these slash pockets on a regular basis, and I was no longer paying my bills late. So that is how I started the Sunday basket. When we were starting a survey, a study we were doing at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, we got it launched the beginning of 2020, and we were trying to ascertain how much time everyone saves using the Sunday basket. And COVID, of course, ruined those results. So we got the preliminary results, but not total results, because everybody's schedules just totally changed. And obviously, a few more important things than my little survey that I was doing. But we have polled our audience, and those of us who are using the Sunday basket know that the Sunday basket saves you time. The Sunday basket saves you time. And what we have assigned, the amount of time we have assigned to the Sunday basket that it saves you is 5 hours. And we now have a social media campaign for that, which is your 5 extra hours. You hear it now inside of the Wednesday podcast episodes. where we're talking about what do you do with your 5 extra hours. You know, I had somebody on a Wednesday podcast episode say, yeah, I haven't found those 5 extra hours that you're talking about yet, but you know, I'm not stressed and I'm not anxious and I'm not depressed anymore. I'm like, okay, it's not like you're going to find 5 hours that you don't know what to do with and you're going to just sit on the couch and eat bonbons and watch Netflix. Like, you're going to roll those 5 hours. For me, the 5 hours that I got saved 20 years ago were for me to be able to stop paying bills late, to be able to feel like I really had this stay-at-home mom job under control, that I was able to juggle all of the expected and unexpected events as they came and start to plan and prioritize my life. So I started saving 5 hours a week every single year. And this is where the podcast episodes comes in that I wanted to share with you. Because in 2002, I used the Sunday basket to move for that transition from being a mom to a mom of two and balancing a stay-at-home job. In 2008, I used my Sunday basket again heavily to organize all of the medical and educational needs that our family had, but also my dad's illness and ultimately to settle his estate. And then again, 10 years ago, in 2012, I used that Sunday basket and that whole system that I had done 10 years prior to pivot from being a teacher and a stay-at-home mom into what is now my next adventure of creating Organize 365. About 5 years, I'm going to pivot a little bit here. About 5 years ago, I really started studying Dave Ramsey, and he was celebrating his 25th anniversary, and he did a podcast episode, and he explained how, you know, the first 5-10 years in business, he was just kind of figuring out what the message was of the Ramsey Solution and how they went from being a radio show just locally in Tennessee to a syndicated radio show, and from a self-published book to a traditional published book, and how they started the course and all of those things. And I really looked at his company. I looked at The Pampered Chef. There's a great book about The Pampered Chef and how she started her company, and how companies grow. Like, the first 10 years a company grows, unless you're actually, like you are, in relationship with me and Organize 365, most people you talk to don't know what Organize 365 is, right? I mean, like, when you bring it up, your family and friends know because you probably talk about it. But when you bring it up in conversation, very few people are going to have heard of Organize 365, likely. And that's how it was for Dave Ramsey, and that's how it was for The Pampered Chef, until it wasn't. And then these names become ubiquitous, like Martha Stewart, same thing. She rose a little bit quicker because she had a lot of TV and media when she was doing it. She didn't quite grow as organically as Dave Ramsey and The Pampered Chef did. And so as I looked at his story and I looked at how he started and how we were growing, I was about 5-6 years in business when I started following Dave Ramsey, I just kept going back to his company. So when I went to that mastermind in Nashville that I told you about, that's where Monique lives now. She just moved to Nashville. I said, hey, meet me over outside of Dave Ramsey's offices. I just want to go there and see them because I'd heard about them. She goes, oh, well, you know, we can go in. I'm like, we can go in? Like, you go in an office? She's like, oh, yeah, they follow this whole like reception thing. So we went over and we went in and we walked around, and it's so funny. He has like the back of a car, like he used to sell his books out of the back of a car. It's obviously not the car, but they got the same make and model and color of a car. And you can actually see the trunk lid is open and they have the books in there. And Monique and I are joking around. We're like, oh yeah, ha ha. This is going to be like, Lisa, you're going to have to get the chair that was in your bedroom and the card table that you worked on. Like, we were just joking around. And we went back outside because we weren't there very long and they were closing. And Monique and I are standing outside and we were looking at these big buildings. And I remember when I had heard that interview with Dave Ramsey, his company was maybe 200 or 300 people at the time. And that was like a year or two later, they were at 500-600. And I thought that's how many people they still had. And Monique and I were standing outside of these two huge buildings, and they're building this other building and all this stuff they're building on this land that they have. She said, yeah, when they moved in, they filled one building and now they filled two and they're getting ready to do the next one. I said, how many employees are there? And she said, it's like 1,100 or something. I'm like, 1,100? Like, this is the compounding of jobs and impact and people. I was like, holy cow. Like, in the beginning, it doesn't seem like you're saving a lot or you're building a lot. But then as it really starts to grow, it just starts to expand so quickly. And so Monique and I were standing there and I said, what are we doing inside of Organize 365 that is doubling like this that we don't realize we're doing? What is the impact that Organize 365 is having? And I said, well, it's the 5 hours you're saving with the Sunday basket. So then we started to try to do mental math. How much time do you think that we have saved people by doing the Sunday basket? And we're like, oh, look, we're just doing rough math by numbers that we know. Like, do you think it's 1 million hours? Do you think we've saved 1 million hours now? I said, I think it's more than 1 million. So we started trying to figure out this math. Now, 1 million is a really big number. 1 million is a huge number. I remember many times thinking, what would it take to be $1 million business or $1 million business owner or 1 million podcast downloads, 1 million of anything, like a million of anything? And then I started really looking around, like, what's the budget for our church? How many people fit in stadiums? Like numbers, like understanding numbers in actuality, not just in our mind, not just these arbitrary numbers. And I remember when Organize 365 had 1 million downloads. It took a long time to get to 1 million downloads. I meant to look up how long it took before I started recording. I think it was 3.5 years, at least 3.5 years. Could have been four. Might have been 4 years of podcast episodes for us to get a total of 1 million downloads across all episodes. And now, at the time of recording this, I'm almost at 15 million downloads. And that is the power of exponential numbers. Like, it seems like it takes forever to get to the first one. And then it takes a little bit longer to get to the second one. And then all of a sudden, it just starts happening. I cannot remember who the famous business person is, but they said the first million is the hardest, and then 10 million. And then from there, it's just inevitable. I'm like, whatever, you are crazy. And now I'm like, oh, I see how maybe that kind of works. It's like, you know, like most businesses fail within 5 years. But once you get to 5 years, in business, something changes. There is something changes. And you usually become profitable at that point. And I'm now noticing among my other friends who've gotten to 10 years or businesses I've watched at 10 years, there's also something that happens at 10 years. And there's this tenacity and grit and hard work and struggle and stick-to-itiveness that you need in order to hit these compounding numbers in your 401k, in your podcast downloads, in the company that you work for, in the company that you start, in the amount of miles you can run, in anything that you do. Like, it's so hard in the beginning and it seems so long to get any kind of progress, and then it starts to multiply. So it's probably about 5 years ago when I was thinking about Dave Ramsey and analyzing these other businesses, where I learned about the 10,000 hour rule. That 10,000 hour rule that, like, once you do something for 10,000 hours, you become an expert in it. I want to say it's Malcolm Gladwell, but I can't remember who came up with the 10,000 hour rule. And so I was like, well, how long does it take to do 10,000 hours of something? Like, what is the math on that? And so I did the math. And if you have a 40-hour a week job and you take a regular 2 weeks vacation and holidays, you end up working 2,000 hours per year. So if you work 5 hours in a job, you would then have your 10,000 hours done. You'd be considered an expert in whatever you do. So about 5 years working in a traditional 9-to-5 type job. Entrepreneurs are not traditional. So as an entrepreneur, I would say I have definitely worked 50 hours a week, every week, including the weeks we're on vacation and everything, which is 2,600 hours per year, which means an entrepreneur can do in about 4 years what a traditional employee does in about five, just because they put in an extra 10 hours a week. Or if you work 50 hours in your traditional job, you do the same. So you get to that expert status a year sooner. But you're not going to get to it in 1 year. See what I'm saying there? And there's no way to buy your way there. Like, you can't buy your expertise. Like, you have to put the time in. So I'm like, okay, so I have like 25,000 hours in on Organize 365 because I've been doing it 50 hours a week for 10 years, right? That math isn't right. 10 hours, 26. 26. What did I say? 26 1,000 hours. That's the right number. Sometimes in Lisa the math, you have to go back a second, but it usually still works. So, one little side note here. How long have you owned your home? How much work have you done in your home? Thank you. You are all experts in your home. You are all experts in homemaking and everything related to housework. Like, you are an expert. So don't look to the experts. You are the experts. Now, I want to take this back to the Sunday basket, and I want to do a little bit of math. Many years ago, I told you this story that I wanted this neon bomber jacket when it was back to school time. It was like lime green and hot pink and, you know, really bright teal, one of those neon teal colors. It did not go with the catalog of outfits my mom was purchasing for me for my Catholic high school, but I really, really wanted it and I really liked it. And it was $150. This jacket was $150. This would have been like in 1984 or something. And my mom was like, no. I was like, no, mom, please, please, please. Can I please have this jacket? Like, I really, really, really want this jacket, please. And she said, if I buy you this jacket, you have to wear it. I can't remember how many times it was, 50 times or something. I was like, yes, I will totally wear it 50 times. So then she bought the jacket. We're on our way home and she said, I want to teach you her math, cost per use analysis. I was like, all right. She said, there is a cost per use of everything that you buy. And if you buy like a $20 shirt, but you only wear it twice, the cost of that shirt is $10. But if you buy this $150 jacket and you wear it 50 times, then the cost per use of this jacket is only $3 per wearing, which is a better cost per use than the t-shirt you only wore two times. And the way she explained that to me has stuck in my head forever. And I know that that is how she makes mathematical decisions. Hey, I don't know what to tell you. Lisa math has been handed down generation after generation, probably. And so I will often make purchasing decisions that my family and friends won't make because I have a different cost per use analysis on the things that I buy. There are things that are $5 or $10 where I'm like, no, we don't need that because I know we'll only use it once. It'll be a very expensive one-time use. Or there will be other things that are probably ridiculously expensive, like an Apple Watch. But I will say to myself, yes, but I will use this watch every day for how many years? So the cost per use analysis on that is good. So I was talking to my husband the other day because he knows my birthday. And I think this was in 2000, it must have been 2019 because this definitely was before the pandemic. Don't you like how we have that now 2-year mile marker where we're like, is it before or after? So it was Mother's Day and my birthday. And I wanted to get an Apple Watch. So I went to the mall and I went to the Apple store and I brought Joey with me. Great move, by the way. And I ended up getting my Apple Watch. So my Apple Watch is 3 years old. So 350, yeah. Good cost per use analysis. While I was there getting my Apple Watch, which I had wanted for a long time, it was close to Mother's Day. And I said to Joey, I want to go to the Michael Kors store. And he's like, okay. So we went in the store and I found this gorgeous, I carry it every day. You guys will see it. It's a black and white Michael Kors, like just a bucket bag purse. And it has a matching wallet. And of course, I'm at the nicest mall in Cincinnati, the Michael Kors store. This is not the outlet mall. They're not having a sale. But I think it was Mother's Day weekend when I went because all the stores were doing Mother's Day things. I think I had waited to get my Apple Watch. And so I looked at it and it was $500 for this purse and wallet because it was full price. There was no sales. They gave me mimosa while I picked it out. So I called Greg and I said, Greg, I want to get this purse and I want to get this wallet. And of course, he just goes, whatever, just do whatever. And I have never spent that much on a purse and wallet before, ever. I mean, like ever. And I said to him yesterday, because I asked for a very small item for my 50th birthday, and I pulled out the purse. I said, I'm still carrying this purse. So this is what, 1,000 days later? I've been carrying this purse and wallet for 1,000 days. So $500 is a lot of money to spend on a purse and a wallet. But I have been carrying it straight for over 1,000 days, which means that this purse and wallet now costs 50 cents per day. It's still probably a lot. You probably are like, okay, Lisa, you have lost us in this conversation. But how many times have you bought a $20 purse and you've only carried it a couple of times? Or how many times have you bought some, like how many things have you bought that would add up to $500, but you haven't carried every single day for the last 3 years? And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with this purse and wallet. I still love it as much as when I got it. I've seen nothing else that I would want to replace it. So for the foreseeable future, this is still my purse and wallet. Additionally, when I buy something new, a new purse, a new wallet, I usually don't go back to the old one. So that is a little bit about cost per use analysis, which is important for our next point. So in 2012, I took back my home. I turned 40. My house was a mess. I was a mess. My family was a mess. Everything was a mess. Everything was a mess. Nothing was good. And I took 12 months and I poured all of my time and money and capacity into getting my life back in order, taking back my life, and starting Organize 365. And I chronicle that whole year of 2012 inside of the book, Organization is a Learnable Skill. I would say I was at my rock bottom January 1st of 2012. And I became a profitable company and also felt like I took back my home in that 365 days. Now, Organize 365 at the end of that year was an in-home service-based company with a blog. I was not profitable online. I was profitable in my service business. So that 1 year in 2012, I started my Sunday basket up in earnest again. And I invested in that Sunday basket every single Sunday. And during that 1 year, if you get 5 hours back every single week that you do the Sunday basket, I gained 260 hours back in that 1 year from doing just the Sunday basket. And the Sunday basket gives you what? Capacity. The Sunday basket is what holds all of the things that are coming into your life, all of the planned, the unplanned, whatever. It all goes in the Sunday basket. You organize and you pick. You go back and you pick. You go back and you pick. So 260 hours of capacity is what I gained from the Sunday basket. Now, the first 6 weeks that you do the Sunday basket, when you are overwhelmed or you're trying it for the first time, yes, you get the 30 hours back in that 6 weeks, but you're using that just to get to treading water status. Like, you will not immediately see the return on this time. It's compounding, which you don't really notice at first. You just totally don't notice compounding at first. So a lot of times people will say to me, the Organize 365 products are expensive. They are. I mean, $97 for the Sunday basket, $997 for the Productive Home Solution is not no money. Also, for what you get back for them, they're totally underpriced. So for $97 for the Sunday basket, if you did the Sunday basket only 1 week and you got back 5 hours, it would cost you, I didn't write this number down, divided by five, like $20 an hour. That would not be a good return on investment. But if you did the Sunday basket for 6 weeks and you went from being overwhelmed to treading water again, that Sunday basket would have given you back, now this is 30 hours, which is $3.23 per hour. But if you do the Sunday basket for the whole year, which will give you back 260 hours in 1 year, that Sunday basket ends up costing you 37 cents per hour. Habits, having a new habit, creating new habits, is all about compounding. Compounding your time, compounding your money, compounding your capacity, compounding. Habits become things that you do in the background that you have put the effort into learning the skill of, refining, making it exactly what you want, and then setting it on autopilot. And our life mostly is run by habits. So once you have the Sunday basket habit in place, that after the course of a year you've put in place for 37 cents per hour, it continues to work in the background for the rest of your life because you've now learned that skill. Even if there are phases in life, and then there are phases in every single year, you know it and I know it, all of us who do the Sunday basket, this is what happens. You get to late February, early March. You get to the beginning of July. you get to around the end of September, beginning of October, and you think, you know what? I don't even know if I ever needed that Sunday basket because, I mean, I am on top of things. I am ready to go. There's nothing on my to-do list. Like, the house is clean. Like, maybe I didn't even need it. Maybe I didn't even need that Sunday basket. You're like, yeah, I'm just going to skip it this week. And then the next week you go, oh, I'm just going to pay the bills and skip it this week. And then the next week you go, yeah, I don't know. It was something I did. I don't know if I really need to do it. I don't know if that Sunday basket ever worked. And then 6 weeks later, you find yourself like a hamster on a wheel going, what? Why is nothing working around here? Like, why did I forget that this person was coming to paint the thing today? And how did I forget that Christmas is next week? And how did, like, why do I all of a sudden feel like I'm behind? And then you remember, you haven't done your Sunday basket for like 4, 6, 8 weeks. You're like, I really don't think it was the Sunday basket that was helping me that much, but, you know, I'm just going to do it this Sunday. And you decide to do it. It takes you like 3, 4 hours to get through it. And you're like, okay, I know what's going on here. And then the next week just goes smooth as butter. And you're like, darn it. I have to keep doing that Sunday basket thing. It's a habit. It's like, can you imagine if you stopped brushing your teeth? Ew. Like, there are habits that they just make everything go better. Now, I want to just add on this one little thing, and then I'm going to finish doing Lisa math for the Sunday basket. The Sunday basket is something super, super concrete that you can start and you can do, and it takes about 6 weeks to start the habit. It takes anywhere from 90 minutes to 3 hours to do it on Sunday or whatever day of your choice. Just make sure it's the same day every single week. We have people in the community that help you. We have a co-working time, so you can do it with certified organizers every week. Like, we have everything to support you to do the Sunday basket. The Sunday basket will save you 5 hours every week. What usually happens is that once you get your to-do list under control and you stop even having one, and your mail and your bills and all the other actionable to-dos that end up on your kitchen counter and all over your mind, and you get them out of your mind and on little pieces of paper and into the Sunday basket and going through them on a regular basis, what do you get? Capacity. Time, but also capacity, that mental freedom that people talk about, that reduction of feeling anxious, overwhelmed, depressed. That is because you have a plan and a place for all of those things that are not yet done to be safe until you have the time and capacity to do them. And once you have that capacity, you start looking around your house and going, what would it be like if all of this was organized? So the other thing that I found was that there was a statistic out there that the average American spends 55 minutes a day looking for things. I have done it. You have done it. I told you in 2012, I took back my house. I organized it 3 different times. I got through everything. I decluttered everything. I had the garage sale. I got to where it was organized. And in the Organized 365 research studies, men and women agreed. Their definition of organized is this: that everything has a place and everything is in that place. So organized means that there is a place for something and you've put it away where it goes. Doesn't mean it's labeled, doesn't mean it's color coordinated, doesn't mean that my place is the same as your place. You can have piles, it does not matter, as long as you know where to find things. So I didn't really realize it, but somewhere along the way, I stopped looking for things. I stopped losing things entirely. So it was about the end of 2012 or the beginning of 2013. I can't remember exactly, but we have done cash-based systems before, like the Dave Ramsey system. And so I was getting cash out in envelopes, and a cash envelope from the bank is white. And so I had $600 in this cash envelope, and I was doing something around the house and I could not find that envelope of cash. At this point, I was organized. Like, there weren't unorganized spaces in my house. I mean, it's not perfect, but I pretty much can retrace my steps. Whenever you lose something, retrace your steps, right? So I retraced my steps over and over and over again. I had had it in the morning. I lost it at 4 o'clock, and I retraced my steps all weekend long. I could not find the $600, which was terrifying. But also, I realized as I kept looking all weekend long, did it slide down the seats in my car? Is it, you know, in the coat pocket? Is it in the bottom line? Like, where is it? I realized I don't look for things anymore. Because I was looking for this money so hard, I realized that I hadn't lost things in a while. I ended up finding the envelope. I had been using laundry baskets around the house to carry things from room to room, and my laundry baskets are white, and the envelope is white. And the envelope was on the bottom of a laundry basket that got nested into another laundry basket, and I ended up finding it on laundry day when I started taking my laundry baskets apart. There was the envelope of money. A couple of months ago, the same thing happened. So this is years later. I literally, you guys, I never look for anything anymore. I just never look for anything anymore. And I use Apple AirPods to listen to podcasts on my phone or to listen to audiobooks. And so Friday, I got home from work and I went to find my AirPods so I could listen to a podcast while I was cleaning stuff up. And my podcasts weren't in my purse. And I was like, that's odd. They're always in my purse. So I started looking through my purse. I emptied my purse out three different times. There's not that much in my purse. So I'm like, they're not in my purse. That's so weird. So I have a little clip where I can clip my AirPods onto my pants. So I was like, well, maybe they were on my pants from yesterday. So I went and looked at my pants from yesterday, went through everything in the laundry room. No. Well, maybe they fell out of my purse and they're in my car. So I go in the car and I'm looking on the passenger side. I'm looking on the floor. They're not there. So I'm such a bummer. And I do not like speakerphone. So now I'm not listening to anything. Plus, I've lost all the time. I could have listened to something anyway. I was not going to go into the office on the weekend, but on Saturday, I couldn't stand it anymore. I was like, well, maybe I left them on my desk at work because sometimes I do that. So I came into work, looked on the desk, no AirPods, looked on my office table, no AirPods, looked on the floor, looked everywhere. I was like, oh. So I got to Monday and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to need to buy new AirPods because I need AirPods. I use them a lot. So I placed an order for AirPods. Come to work on Monday, Tuesday, Joey says to me, hey, are you looking for your AirPods? I'm like, yes. He goes, they were on the shipping counter. And then I remembered we had had a meeting Friday afternoon with the whole team and I had taken them off of my pants and I'd put them on the counter and then I had gone about my day and I had forgotten about them. And now I have two sets of AirPods. But what I thought about was, again, I don't look for anything. I don't look for anything because I don't lose anything because everything has a place. And when you get your home organized, which is what the Productive Home Solution helps you do, teaches you all the skills of organizing all the spaces in your home, personally, your family, communal spaces, your storage spaces, your paper spaces, all of the spaces. Once all those spaces are organized, you will stop looking for things too. And if you're like the average American, that's going to save you 55 minutes a day. So I'm not even using that 7 hours per week that you can save when you start doing the Productive Home Solution. I'm only using the 5 hours a week you save with the Sunday basket in the Lisa math that I'm about to share with you. But you could see how saving 5 and then 12 hours a week, this can become life-changing. Life-changing. Living an organized life is about a current investment of time for a future exponential return on time. Exponential. It's not one for one. It's not trading time for dollars. It is learning a skill that will give you an exponential return for your entire life. So I told you earlier that if you just buy the Sunday basket and do it for 1 year, that you will gain 260 hours and those hours will cost you 36 cents per hour. So if you were to add the Productive Home Solution to that, so Sunday basket plus the Productive Home Solution, which is $1,194, your investment for that 260 hours, just the hours you get from the Sunday basket, would be $4.59 per hour. So if you spent $4.59 per hour for the Sunday basket and Productive Home Solution to gain 260 hours. But the reality is the Productive Home Solution will give you another 364 hours for a total of 624 hours per year. When you do the home and you have your Sunday basket going, which will become 50 cents per year. So Monique and I were talking and we were like, how many hours do you think the Sunday basket has saved the Organized 365 community? Just people who have purchased the $97 Sunday basket. Not everyone who's made one on their own. Not like all the people who got started before we sold it as a physical product. Just the people that have actually started purchasing it in March of 2018. How many do you think? And as we stood there and we were trying to think, could it be a million hours? Like, how many hours could it be? All I could think of was the McDonald's sign. I remember being the kid, because I'm old, that had the McDonald's sign and would be like, so many billions of people had had the burgers. And now it just says billions and billions served. But when I was a kid, that number would change. Like the billions of people who had had McDonald's hamburgers and cheeseburgers, that number would change. And I was like, that's what we need. Monique, that's what we need. You know, we have all these ticker tapes of like the amount of debt the United States is in and all these sad numbers. I want to have this number of the amount of hours per week that people who are using the Sunday basket are saving, and they're investing this in their future exponential return on time and their increase in capacity. So I wanted to do actual Lisa math. So I had Sue pull from our profit and loss, our P&L, every single complete Sunday basket purchase that we had by month. And I said, okay, first I'm going to do my math. So for me, I started doing the Sunday basket 20 years ago. So the first week I saved 5 hours, the first month I saved 20 hours, and the first year I saved 260 hours. I have been doing this for 20 years. The Sunday basket has given back to me 5,200 hours. That is halfway to expert status just on return on time. And I want to pull out, and it just blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, Lisa, this is the mission of Organize 365. Like, our mission is to help busy people get their home and paper organized so that they can do what they're uniquely created to do. The Sunday basket has given me over 20 years, 5,200 hours. And what have I done with that time? I have poured it into creating Organize 365, which is what I am uniquely created to do. I use that extra time and capacity not to be able to do more homemaking or more parenting, because the truth is I was always doing the homemaking and I was always doing the parenting, because nothing was going to stop me doing from that mission. I was always going to be the wife and mother that I was uniquely created to be, because it's for the people that I'm in community with. Like, I don't want to have my family lose time with me so I could do what I'm uniquely created to do. They still get all of me. They still get the best of me. They are still the phone call that I will take in the middle of a meeting. It is the extra capacity I've gotten from having an organized house and organizing my actionable to-dos that I am doing on a weekly basis for my family in the Sunday basket that has given me over 5,000 what would have been household hours to pour into me, Lisa, to do whatever I'm uniquely created to do, which is Organize 365. That is so cool. So then I was like, oh my gosh, now I'm really excited. How many hours have you guys saved? So I started with month number one, March 2018. 59 people got the new complete Sunday basket, and they saved 20 hours per week, which was 1,180 hours. That's just mind-boggling that you could buy a product and save that much time. Mind-boggling. When you got to the end of 3 months, so 3 months after we started the Sunday basket, we had like about 140 people in the Sunday basket, 150, it was exactly 150. They had saved collectively to date 3,750 hours. So at first my bookkeeper looked at my math and she said, your math is not correct. And I was like, no. She's like, you can't total to the end of the month and then add up going into the year. I said, yes, you can. Because if you save 1,180 hours the first month, you save those hours again the second month, plus the new people that buy the Productive Home Solution. She was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I know, exponential math. That's so awesome. I love it. So when we got to the end of 2018, where we had only been selling the Sunday basket for 10 months, collectively, we had saved 71,130 hours, an additional capacity of 71,130 hours. By the end of 2019, we had added another 304,340 for a collective total of 375,470 hours saved. By the end of 2020, just in the year 2020 alone, 751,000 and 20 hours were saved. And when you add that to 2019 and 2018 hours, you get to 1,126,490 hours. So at the end of 2020, that is when we hit the 1 million hours saved. And so I want you to guess, how many hours, collective hours, do you think the Sunday Basket has saved by the end of 2021? Do, 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 do. How many do you think? How many do you think? How many do you think? At the end of 2021, we have saved 2,507,968 hours total. And the average number of hours being saved per week, every single week. How fast is that counter going up? It is going up by 40,000 hours per week. That is mind-blowing. That is awesome. That is the best Sunday Basket birthday gift I could ever give myself, that you could ever give me. Like, mind-blowing to know 20 years ago, this simple system that I created out of desperation to be able to pay my bills on time, that I had the money to pay and to survive the awesome chaos of being a mom of two, and then 10 years ago to spread out in front of me all over my bed, what in my first 40 years of living have I done that is unique that I could put into a business that would bless and move forward other people? What am I uniquely created to do, which is Organize 365? And now here I sit, 50 years old, with more than 2.5 million hours that my unique gifting and calling has blessed you with. And what is even bigger and more awesome to me than that is how you are using those 2.5 million hours. Like, the books, the businesses, the volunteers, the adoptions, all the things that you're telling me that you are doing that you were uniquely created to do, the Sunday Basket just unlocks that time and capacity. That's all it does. Organization gives you time. Organization gives you an exponential return on your time. And that exponential return on your time can then be used for you to press into whatever you are uniquely gifted and created to do. And the cost of a $97 Sunday Basket is not high to begin with, but it is literally pennies as it becomes a habit in your life that unlocks the potential for your future, for your uniqueness, for whatever you have uniquely been gifted and called to do. So we have a new counter. We have a new counter that is like the McDonald's hamburger counter. It's at the bottom of the Organize 365 website, is on the sundaybasket.com page. And it's going to be updated every week with how many hours is the Sunday Basket saving. Oh, it is my gift to myself on my 50th birthday, is this counter of being able to quantify the impact that Organize 365 is making, not knowing what your uniqueness is or how that is going to impact you, how that is going to free up your mental capacity, reduce your anxiety, allow you to be more present with your family and friends, and just more settled. Like, it's such a gift for me. I highly encourage you to get a Sunday Basket if you don't have one, because first of all, I want my numbers to go up faster. And second of all, I know, like, I'm the teacher. I know this thing seems silly and that you can create one on your own. It's different. It's different when you have the actual Sunday Basket. And if you have the Sunday Basket and you're not in the Productive Home Solution and you're like, well, I don't know if I need this piece or that piece or that. Yeah. Do you need 364 hours? Like, because if you'd like 364 hours next year and then another 364 hours the year before, after that and after that and after that, it's worth it to get your home organized so you stop looking for things. Looking for things is annoying. It's stressful. It's panic inducing. It's expensive. Stop looking for things. Live an organized life. Invest the year now in order to live an organized life in the future. If you already have the Sunday Basket, and you already have the Productive Home Solution, then start really pressing into what makes you unique. What is your unique gifting and calling in the world? And we would love to unpack that with you at Embrace or at a mastermind. Oh, thanks for listening. I love talking to you, and I'm so happy to have spent my 50th birthday with you. Thank you so much for investing in listening to, and in the products of Organize 365. Have a great day.